where nobody knows your name is not filmed in front of a live studio audience. Here's Jimmy and John talking about Cheers.
Well, you went all in on the Here's Jimmy, but not Johnny, no?
Here's Johnny.
There we go.
The irony, I guess.
I was expecting a big introduction then for a second, and you just went, and John.
Yeah. here's Johnny. Yes, of course. It's the Johnny Carson episode.
It's when we started this podcast, I didn't realize Cliff was going to be on two shows of TV in Cheers.
You were naive, John. We were both young and naive, and now we've seen the errors in our ways.
It does feel very much to like a sister episode to What is Cliff Clavin?
Yeah. Obviously, the title Here's Cliffy is a spoof of Ed McMahon's famous introduction on a Johnny Carson show. May 7th, 1992 is when this episode aired, and that date is relevant to the plot of the episode as well. It's directed by James Burrows, written by Ken Levine and David Isaacs.
Which means we're in safe hands with this one, James.
Yes.
Some well-studied seasonal writers in Cheers, and of course back with James Burrows this week after Rick Byrne took on last week's episode.
You said that there's two episodes with Cliff visiting TV shows, and I'm starting to understand what Ken Levine said about the later the show went on, the more we struggled to write for Cliff.
I enjoyed this episode. I feel like Cliff is at his best at the moment when he's put in, like, not necessarily high-pressure situations, but situations where he's very much out in the public and new people have to kind of see him and try and, like, because he's mad. He's absolutely mad. But that feels almost tempered by the reaction in the bar now. So it's always nice to see him in a new setting where his madness truly shines through.
I enjoyed the episode. They're going, what if Cliff was on The Tonight Show?
How do you think it went? Do you think The Tonight Show approached Cheers or Cheers approached The Tonight Show?
I think they probably approached Johnny, what with him retiring. Mm. Yeah.
Nice to coincide with that as well.
Shall we start with the cold open?
All we can do is we can keep up with Norm because he's got some new shoes.
Turbo Flex Air Masters, Speedy Boys.
Yeah, they got the racing stripes and everything. Norm's always been a sort of smart shoes kind of guy. I don't think we've seen him in trainers before, unless he's painting.
That's true, yeah. I don't know what he needs them for, and he quickly addresses why I think that. And that he puts them on, does stretches, then sits down.
Yeah, but I feel like these shoes give him more. They give him a sassiness, because Woody's like, oh, Runner's World says they're 10%, and he very quickly replies, try 12%, babe. I don't think Norm would say babe if he was just wearing normal shoes.
Yeah, it's weird.
He's got some sassy energy with these trainers.
Yeah. 13% jumping height, yes?
Yeah. Mm. They shine like the Northern Lights as well.
Really?
According to Paul, I'm pretty sure.
Well, that's what you want in a shoe.
Well, Norm's got a spring in his step for this episode at least.
After the cold open, Norm is going over to Gary's to watch the big heavyweight fight. Because Cheers doesn't have a big TV.
This line does two things. It sets up Sam's sort of arc of this episode, but also it sort of establishes Gary does still own that bar. Last week, there was a big long form prank that Gary had sold the bar. And we never really we never saw Gary to sort of confirm whether he still had the bar or not.
Now we figure out he does.
Yeah, straight in, Gary's still there. Which makes me hopeful for another bar fight later down the road and maybe the next season. But yeah, but it also sets up this idea of Cheers doesn't have satellite TV and now Sam's losing business because of it. And not only that, he's losing it to Gary.
Oh dear. What's he going to do?
Maybe get a satellite TV?
Yeah, that's...
Get
that's,
a dish?
You know, something like that. Now, Lilith talks about her sense of dread, I guess, when thinking about a culture where people... just mindlessly watch TV.
Yeah. Just watching TV, talking about TV.
Doing podcasts on TV.
Recording it, putting it online so people watch the program. Then they just listen about the program.
Disgusting. It's Wally she's talking about, isn't it? The Pixar film.
Well, yeah. I think the creators of Wall-E watched this episode and I think there's someone in there.
Genius, yeah. Frasier's watching an episode of Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, and he's magnetized.
Yep.
Because that's a plot.
That was acceptable for a plot.
But it does kind of link into Lilith's fear because he's totally sort of glazed over watching this episode of TV, sort of mindlessly agreeing and saying, how did he even get magnetized? Lilith, who's half watching, knows the answer. You know, Frasier, he came into the bar as a quick-witted man and he's slowly becoming a regular.
Apparently Gilligan was struck by lightning and yeah. That makes him magnetized. That's not how lightning works.
I think it happened in an episode of X-Files as well. Didn't the guy get struck by lightning? And he didn't have powers?
I don't think that's how lightning works.
I don't know. There's two things now that I've seen about it. Lightning gives you powers.
And the flash.
Yeah. Did you get struck by lightning?
Well, apparently. He got struck by lightning and spilled chemicals on him at the same time, and that gave him super speed.
Who's faster, the Flash or Norm in some Turboflex Air Masters?
Is that our bar fight? Yeah, apparently, he asks the same question every time he sees this episode, and Lily has to tell him. Meanwhile, Cliff has received a letter from The Tonight Show.
Yeah, I like the fact that they've followed this thread through the season of Cliff wanting to be a comedian and his sort of journey of being a stand-up or a comedy writer. And he's not let go of that dream, and he's been sending persistent letters to The Tonight Show just trying to sell jokes to them.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And we catch him in a low moment because he's kind of... he's got a lot of rejection.
Forget it. It's just another rejection.
No, come on, man. How do you know?
Sammy, just a plaything of that fickle maiden known as Miss Comedy. Last night, I went down to Laugh Terrine to gig. Well, they wouldn't let me go on. It's amateur night. Said I wasn't ready.
They've rejected his jokes many times before, and he feels dubious that the latest letter will be of acceptance because of the track record.
He's had a bad night at the Laughter Terrine as well. Which he's still performing at, despite clearing the room last time we saw him. Yeah. But Lilith is sort of his main advocate.
Yes. I like how they stuck with that, how they stuck with Lilith being a staunch fan of Cliff.
Mm. I think it works really well. And I think even when he's sort of down, it's the sad clown routine, isn't it? The sad clown's even funnier. So he goes to Lilith like, you've always been my number one fan. In fact, you're my only fan. She loves that stuff.
Yeah.
She's laughing like nobody's problem, you know? She said he's got instinctive timing and everything.
Yeah. But in order to cheer Cliff up, Norm suggests, I've said doctoring the letter. I think that's the correct verb. Yeah, doctor the letter to look like a letter of acceptance.
It'd be pretty easy, actually.
So you're just going to dismiss my putting him to sleep idea? We're not even going to talk about it?
You know, all we have to do is just write out the word not, and it looks like we will be using yours.
Pretty good with that whiteout stuff.
I used to be an accountant.
I tried to do an elaborate ruse much like this, where when I was young, there was, you know, snow days at school. Mm-hmm. And in the area where I lived, summer schools were closing. And I think we were one of, you know, two or three schools still open in the whole county. Mm. So I went onto the website where it said which schools were closed. And it had like a color-coded status.
Mm.
Took a screenshot, found the font, adjusted it, and then sent it as an image to my parents.
Sneaky man. Sneaky boy.
And then they checked the actual website and went, why did you do this?
There you go. I think
points for initiative.
I think that's more advanced than what Norm did.
I think that's more advanced than whatever I would have learned in school. But we did go, and turns out, yeah, there was very little to learn in school that day because the teachers couldn't get in. So
there you go. Should have stayed home.
I mean, I had the same opinion.
I tell you what, though, because it is, it can't be that good a forgery. You know, it can't. It's just a Tippex down. not. You have to say maybe Cliff wanted it too much.
Mm-hmm.
And was blindsided by it. Because, you know, if I doctored a document and sort of rather than a rejection, you got accepted somewhere, you'd see it, I think. Like your parents did, you know. So I feel like Cliff wanted this. And a bad doctored acceptance letter, it wouldn't fool someone unless they really wanted to will it into existence. But he is over the moon.
Yeah. Frasier doesn't support indulging Cliff's flight of fancy, one of which includes the theory that the Beatles were involved in the JFK assassination, which is, I want to hear the theory now.
What do you think the theory would be?
Sergeant Pepper worked for the KGB.
Sergeant Pepper on the mossy hill. The mossy knoll.
Yeah, grassy knoll.
The grassy knoll.
the mossy hill. Yeah, it's...
Me like history good.
me no history.
I was on a snow day permanently. I doctored the website every day. No, John, it's summer. And I went, snow day.
That's, you missed that. The school was snowed off on the day they taught the JFK assassination.
I'm pretty sure it's the mossy hill.
Yeah. Nong does give Cliff the letter.
Mm.
Yeah.
And Cliff takes he gets pretty high horse, I'd say, you know?
Yeah. You can find a new career as joke meister and find new friends in Oscar and Emmy.
Yeah.
You missed out one. Who did you miss, John?
I don't know.
Tony. Of course. Yeah.
You got me confused for a second.
Yeah, but the answer was obvious, yeah.
Cliff can't have more than two friends. Let's be real.
Yeah, that's true. He's lucky to have Norm.
He lets the fame go to his head a little bit.
Yeah, the fame which he does not yet have.
And I think some people might do it in an ironic way. Oh, he's dead serious about this. I'm pretty surprised the next time we see him, he doesn't have like sunglasses on and sort of, I don't know, pulling up in a limousine, spending his paychecks.
Carla sees a $300 satellite dish in the paper and suggests Sam install it himself.
You ever installed a satellite dish, James?
I have made a makeshift table for a TV aerial, a small one, not a satellite dish. And that's not the most amusing way to start an anecdote. But
you made a table? Is that the?
No, a shelf, like a hanging shelf, and that's not an amusing start to an anecdote. But basically, I was in some student accommodation, and you know we were getting TV. So and it has a little aerial, right? And we had to put it near the window, but it was at this awkward distance from the window where we couldn't put it on the actual window shelf. It just had to suspend somewhere in the air. So we had to set up a sort of pulley system, right? Put string over a small hook in the ceiling and put a little shelf. Now, you had to get the shelf at the right weight, right? So we put the aerial on, and to put the to keep the shelf where it was, we had a bag of flour. Which we slowly added and took away to, which meant people who walked past just saw this bag of flour hanging near the window. Got a few strange looks in Glasgow.
So what we've learned from that is it's quite hard to install a satellite, I'd say. Just sometimes, James, I ask questions and I never know what I'll get, but...
I mean, if you're going for, yeah, the Wile E. Coyote method of TV installation, yeah.
You got a pulley system with a bag of flour out of a window to put a shelf up?
I mean, that's pretty accurate, yeah.
Mad. Absolutely mad.
By shelf, I mean bits of cardboard and string. This doesn't sell my case, but it functioned. It did what it needed to, you know.
What a catching cartoon Roadrunners.
I just MacGyvered it, John. Just MacGyver it. No, I mean.
Yeah, luckily they're not going to follow that tactic. Sam does decide to get the satellite dish and will install it himself. And Woody offers to help him as well. And Sam seems quite knowledgeable. Woody has trust in him to do that.
You know who would have been good in Cheers lore to install that satellite dish?
I feel like I know where you're going.
Who then?
Rodney Trotter and Del Boy Trotter.
No. Oh. But that's also relevant. I was thinking Nick Tortelli. Nick Tortelli to the Vision Hospital.
Oh, in the law. I thought you meant who would be a good addition to the law.
No, no.
Yeah, Nick Tortelli could... I was going to say, he'd probably mess it up and charge you a lot for it.
I don't know. We've seen him do some cool stuff with you know, fixing tiny TVs.
He's the kind of guy who would be able to magnetize himself by electricity.
Yeah, yeah. Lightning would take him down.
I never finished the Tortellis, but I imagine the season finale, he gets magnetized.
Hey, Loretta, I'm magnetized.
That just feels like something that would happen to him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't think anyone's surprised by your comment, I never finished the Tortellis. I think a lot of people could say that, yeah.
I really enjoyed it, though. I just couldn't find it anywhere, really.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was a good show. My hot take.
Listen to our bonus episode on it. for more thoughts. But yes, Woody tells the tale of, not dissimilar to Nick Tortelli, his uncle Skyler.
Mm. Clamp it to the roof and you run a few wires down.
Well, no, Carla. My Uncle Skyler tried to do that with a milking machine right before an electrical storm. Cows never forgave him for it. It was worth it, though. We had cottage cheese sandwiches for a month.
It's a story I don't want to dig too deep into, I think.
I don't think cow would enjoy an electrified milking machine, which is not a phrase I thought I'd say. But I blame Cheers for prompting me to say it.
Yeah, sometimes if you dig too deep into one of Woody's anecdotes, you don't like what you find.
Yeah.
It just feels a bit sort of like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Not the Tim Burton one.
Oh, right.
You know, when it's like, this is how we make whipped cream, and it like just casually shows them whipping some cows.
Oh, yeah. So they have like a cow being shook.
Yeah, and then it's just some Oompa Loompas whipping a cow, and you're like... It's a bit strange. Now I'm picturing, I'm glad we didn't see the other door where they're making cream cheese.
They could be making milkshake where just putting a cow in one of those centrifuges that NASA astronauts go.
Like Sandman.
Yeah. But anyway, Cliff has bought plane tickets so he can attend the Tonight Show in person.
Yeah, and he's like pretty like, he comes in... Big cheese. If we're keeping the cheese anecdote.
Let's keep the cheese anecdote. Why not?
He comes in big cheese and he's like, I got two tickets for me and Ma. We're going with... He's like, we're going to be in the audience to see my joke. And Norm's like, wow, this has snowballed a bit, hasn't it? He's a bit worried. And he's like, I got to break the news to him. And then Cliff goes, and I got a third ticket for the man who made this all possible. My good friend. I don't know, this isn't a Cliff impression. I'm just doing a voice.
Oh, yeah, I was like, you were almost going into Willy Wonka there, and this is a third ticket. Okay.
It is, yeah. Golden ticket for Norm Peterson.
I got a golden ticket.
And Norm's like, oh, man, what do I do here? And what he decides to do is go on holiday.
To L.A.,
which leads to a really fun montage.
Of Cliff loving life and Norm being there for the ride.
I think they're all there for the ride. I think this kind of montage doesn't feel scripted. And I think in these sort of moments, you feel like you are seeing the friendship of the cast a bit.
Well, yeah, because obviously it was filmed in LA. So to get to those places wouldn't have been a trek for them.
So it feels like there's some improvisation going on a bit, which is nice to see. And it's just some lovely little like home footage style montage of their holiday.
Yeah, while in the line at NBC, they give their camera to a passerby to get, you know, a shot of all three of them. And he tries to steal the camera, but it falls down while running away. Yeah.
This guy would rather run off with what I presume is sort of a consumer camera rather than see one of Johnny Carson's last shows on The Tonight Show.
Yeah. Or do you think he was actually seeing the show, or do you think he was there waiting for an opportunity like this?
He spends his time in queues for TV shows,
yep,
waiting to pounce.
We cut back to the roof of Cheers.
Big old satellite on the roof. And this is why I mentioned Dalboy and Rodney from Only Fools and Horses earlier, James, because I thought we were going to get a similar sort of storyline to that episode.
Where they take an airport's satellite and
yeah,
air traffic control gets diverted to their apartment block.
Yeah. Where they buy one sort of cheap on through word of mouth kind of idea or off the back of a lorry and they install it in their home and it's just this huge satellite on their like apartment balcony. But yeah, so that whole kind of setup of this sort of dodgy satellite dish reminded me of that episode when I saw this huge satellite dish on the top of Cheers with Woody and Sam installing it. I thought it was going to light up the same way. They were going to sort of panic at one point. But instead, we get actually this lovely heart-to-heart between Woody and Sam.
Yeah. Sam tries to explain to Woody how satellites work. And he gets it vaguely right in that information is fired, hits a satellite, and returns to the dish. That's about all Sam knows. And that's really all Woody needed to know.
But yeah, they sort of, whilst looking up at the sky, they ponder, not necessarily the insignificance of life, but they get quite reflective. And Woody starts asking Sam for sort of advice around whether him marrying Kelly is the right thing to do, which opens Sam up to talk about Diane again, which we haven't seen for a while.
You know, sometimes I don't think I'll ever find someone. I thought Diane was going to be the one, but turns out she wasn't. It was lucky for me, because if she had been, I just would end up killing her and dying in the electric chair.
That is lucky.
And Rebecca. Well, we want to have a baby together, but that's no reason to get serious about anyone. You know, I used to think I had it made. You know, I got my freedom, my bar. Goes without saying, I'm a love machine. Recently, you know, when I've been alone, I kind of feel lonely.
Well, Sam, you know, Kelly and I are probably going to have a big, beautiful house someday with, you know, a garden and swimming pool and lots of servants. And when you get too old to take care of yourself, you can come live with us.
Oh, sweet man, but I think I'll be able to manage. Would I get my own room?
Nice little reflection from Sam there.
And I think what's really nice about this moment is it kind of reminded me a little bit of moments we had between Sam and Coach in quite earlier seasons.
Yeah.
And it's Woody talking about how him and Kelly are going to have a house and there'll be room for Sam in it.
Yeah.
And I think one of the really poignant moments with Coach was when he sort of was talking to Sam about the future. And he said, like, I always figured you and her would marry. He pictured them moving into a little home in the country and that, like, every Sunday night, Diane would make fried chicken dinner for them. He says it was going to be a happy house. That was in Cheerio Cheers, season 3, episode 22. And sort of Woody's vision of the future kind of feels like it emulates that a bit and gives Sam this sort of reassurance as a sort of father figure to Woody at times.
Yeah, exactly. And Sam, you know, Woody's offers that Sam can stay as, and Sam goes, oh, I think it'll be all right. Then he asks whether he'll get his own room. Yeah, which is nice. I mean, this day we don't know where the Cheers gang are, do we? Cheers, the bar, is ostensibly closed, as far as we can tell, in 2024.
That's if we believe Frasier. or the writers who no longer work on Frasier, who didn't want to come back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do believe them, but I do feel like they might try and bring something back. But we'll wait and see. Before that, we get to see The Tonight Show happening. We get to see Norm, Cliff, and Ma very excited in the audience.
This is where Cliff goes to mingle, and Norm confesses to Ma that he doctored the letter.
Yeah. She's sort of like, you have to figure this out. And Norm goes down and bribes the cue card guy, yeah.
Yeah. Offers him $200 if he will slip Cliff's joke into the monologue.
Yes, and the guy only does it because it's a bad joke.
To make Carson look bad.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't been, his contract hasn't been renewed under Leno, has he? Yeah.
And I think that's a lovely moment, which obviously Carlson would have approved. So he's very much happy for him to be the butt of the joke in this episode. Then after Norm sort of sorted this deal, they go and sit down and we get to see Carson's monologue for the episode.
I think we'll play some of that in a bit, but some little behind the scenes fact. The Tonight Show scene was filmed after a real taping of the show. The audience was asked to stay for an extra half hour. It only took James Burrows 15 minutes to shoot the cheer scene, which took two takes. So, not long at all.
Wouldn't you be gutted if you were in the audience and they said, everybody stay, apart from you three people, we need your seats. Get out of here.
Get out of here. Ken Levine offered to make any adjustments to the script that Carson wanted, but Carson thought the script was great and performed it as written by as Levine. Carson isn't in my impression repertoire, so I wouldn't can't do that exchange. Neither is Ken Levine, to be fair. But yeah, Carson comes out, does his monologue.
And now, here's Johnny.
Thank you, folks. Please don't suck up. I'm leaving everything to Doc. I don't know if you know this or not, but today is Doc Severinsen's birthday. You really dressed up tonight?
Yeah, a little something special.
You think that's in bad taste? You ought to see him in his real birthday suit. Doc is so old.
Oh, my God, here it comes.
Yes.
When he was a kid, he never blew out candles on a birthday cake. They didn't have fire yet. Oh. Woo, stay where you are. Fortunately, folks, in a situation like this, the band is instructions to come over and form a human barrier in front of a star. How did that line get on the cue cards anyway? I should have done that joke with one of those big blue dots covering my face. Who wrote that joke anyway?
What did you think of the actual joke itself, James? Because I thought, within context with the first joke, his birthday suit's even worse. Mm-hmm. I thought Cliff's joke was pretty good.
I will get on to that. I think the performance of the joke takes multiple takes, and I think it does improve with the more takes. Predictably, it bombed, and he quickly asks how such a bad line got on the cue cards. And you can briefly see the cue cards there, and on them, you can read the entire dialogue between Cliff, Ma, Johnny, and Norm. So the script is the cue cards.
Oh, I didn't do that.
That's according to IMDb anyway. And I tried to get a close look at the screen, but I was going, well, the word Norm is on there. So Cliff gets angry at Johnny botching his joke. Mm. Security throws him out.
Yeah, he starts yelling from the bleachers.
And I'll tell you what, Johnny gets the last laugh here because he goes, gentlemen, the president of NBC.
Another good joke.
Yeah. And this is where Johnny Carson gets feedback from Mark Levin.
And he sees the sort of golden opportunity of, this is funnier than the joke would ever be.
Yeah, the crowd work.
With all due respect, Mr. Carson, you didn't tell my son's joke correctly.
You're his mother?
Yes. And I want you to tell it again, and this time, put a little life into it.
Audience, can you stand to hear this joke again? Doc is so old.
How old is he?
When he was a kid, he never blew out candles on a birthday cake. They didn't have fire yet.
No, no. Now tell it again, and this time hit the word have. And it wouldn't kill you to turn on the applause sign.
Hit the word have.
Have.
Doc is so old.
How old is he?
When he was a kid, he never blew out candles on a birthday cake. They didn't have fire yet.
And they still laugh. Now, don't tell me my son doesn't know comedy.
It's better.
You tell me the nuance of how it's different, James.
The hitting the word have, eh?
I still think it was good on the first delivery, you know. I don't think it deserved the boos it got and the sort of, when he's already done a bit of a dig already, you know.
Yeah, to me it's the rhythm. It's the rhythm that comes with hitting that specific word.
But Mal Clavin gets called down to sort of guest on the show.
Yeah.
And she's having a great time. She starts giving some advice about retirement, saying, always get changed, you know, in the morning. Can't remember the rest of it. Just get changed in the morning.
That's it. That's it. That's all you need to know, Johnny. I think she's a good guest. And I think you're right that let's suspend our disbelief for a moment and, you know, assume that that's what would have actually happened in real life. I think Johnny, yeah, did make the right call bringing on that guest. Do you think another guest got bumped?
Yeah. I think they had someone else waiting in the wings.
Who do you think it would be? Wesley Snipes.
Well, there we go. In our headcanon, that was what we'll go for. We do see Cliff sort of in the security office, detainment office kind of thing.
Yeah.
Ranting and raving about how his lawyers will hear about this and his ma's out there and she's a vulnerable woman and how could they do this to her? And then he sees on TV that she's just actually on the show having a great time.
Shall we talk about the guests who's on the show this week? Johnny.
There's a lot, aren't there?
Yeah. Francis Sternhagen as Mark Laven, Josh Mostel as Cue Card Guy. He also appeared in Going Home, Jesus Christ Superstar, as King Herod, no less. Harry and Tonto, Delta House, Dead Ringer, Sophie's Choice, The Brother from Another Planet, Windy City, The Money Pit, Spencer for Hire, The Equalizer, Radio Days, Wall Street, Murphy's Law, Beverly Hills 90210, Tribeca, Searching for Bobby Fischer, The Chase, Alvedersen America, The Basketball Diaries, Billy Madison, Wings, Great Expectations, Rounders, Law and Order, State of Play, Law and Order, Special Victims Unit, Blue Bloods, Mr. Robot Hunters, The Blacklist, and many more. Paul Wilson as Paul Craypence, Nicholas Mees as Security Guard. He also appeared in Beethoven, Murphy Brown News Radio, Pacific Blue, Diagnosis Murder, Grounded for Life, The Practice, Malcolm in the Middle, Carnival, and many more. Angel Harper as audience member. She also appeared in Hairspray, Good Grief, The Real Ghostbusters, Gabriel's Fire, Shout, Anything But Love, Batman the Animated Series, Kiss the Girls, The Rugrats Movie, The Lower Bottoms, Saved by the Bell, Hunters, and many more. Johnny Carson as Johnny Carson. He hosted The Tonight Show for almost 30 years, from 1962 to 92, and over 4,500 episodes. He won 6 Emmy Awards, the 1985 Peabody Award, and was inducted into the Television Academy Hall of Fame in 1987. He received the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1992, and many talk show hosts, including David Letterman, have cited Carson as an influence. When Carson retired in 1992, he made cameo appearances in other shows, but believed Letterman to be his rightful successor as host of The Tonight Show. He passed away from emphysema in 2005, but among the many honors and tributes to him is a park in Burbank named after him, across the street from the former NBC studios where he worked for 30 years. Doc Severinsen as Doc Severinsen. Joining the band as the first trumpeter in 1962, he became the band leader in less than 5 years. He remained in that position until he retired along with Johnny Carson. On 31st of January 2005, he appeared with Tommy Newsom and Ed Shaughnessy on The Late Show with David Letterman to perform Here's That Rainy Day in honor of Carson, who had died 8 days earlier. He also played with The Roots on Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show in February 2015. The Tonight Show Band with Doc Severinsen won the Grammy Award for Best Large Jazz Ensemble Performance. He performed his last concert with his Miguel 5 group on September 1st, 2022 in Saratoga Springs, New York. As of recording, he is 96 years old.
Ooh, and is that our whole cast, Jim?
That's all that I wrote. That's all he wrote.
It's a big cast, but it's a big episode for the show, really. I think it was a nice idea to sync it up with Carson's last appearance or coming to the end of his run on The Tonight Show.
Well, it's the penultimate episode of this season, so it was really their last chance to do so, wasn't it?
And I think as we sort of head into the later parts of this episode, whilst Mar is on stage, she calls in Norm, so Norm gets a bit of his 5 minutes of fame as well. But we sort of come towards the end of this episode with Cliff sort of in the Tonight Show studio with Norm going, this is the spot where Johnny Carson did my joke. And he takes away a positive from it. And him and Norm have a little back and forth, but then Norm clears off and leaves Cliff there to sort of enjoy his moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Cliffy.
Feels good, doesn't it?
Sure does, Mr. Carson.
Now get the hell out of here before I call security. Esther, does Smuggler's Restaurant sound okay?
Yeah, he's got dinner reservations with Ma, does Johnny. Just fun. Several months after this episode, George Wendt would appear on the season premiere of Seinfeld as himself, as a guest on the Jay Leno Tonight Show. This is where George Costanza, played by Jason Alexander, annoys Wendt by suggesting Cheers stop focusing on the bar so much. And it's a great bit where he goes, people meet each other out of bars, yeah? You know, show some other places. And then George Wendt, obviously as a fictionalized version of himself, does a whole bit about how ludicrous a suggestion that is. Then we go back to the roof, don't we?
Yeah, just for this sort of very quick outro for the episode, which sort of revisits Woody and Sam, who have been in sort of deep conversation throughout the episode, discussing sort of what happens after life.
Mm-hmm.
We see this, I don't know how I see them, whether I see them as brothers or this sort of father-son relationship, but Sam's definitely a role model for Woody.
Fun Uncle Sam.
Fun Uncle. But yeah, so they have this kind of conversation, which we see off screen, but Sam ends it with, that's what I think happens when you die. And Woody goes, that's great, Sam. Especially the part about Snickers for breakfast.
Mm.
And we understand that this sort of deep conversation they have is also very childish in a way, you know?
Exactly. A little over 2 weeks after this episode aired, on May 22nd, 1992, Johnny Carson would retire after his 30-year run. Ironically, about a year later, when Cheers ended, Jay Leno, Carson's replacement, would host a live broadcast of The Tonight Show with the Cheers rap party from the Bull and Finch Bar in Boston. This live broadcast turned out to be a disaster, as most of the cast were too drunk and Leno had to ad-lib a lot of the show.
There you go. Something to look forward to as we approach our final season in a few weeks.
I mean, I think that's inspiring us. For what we're going to do for our special episode at the end. Yeah. Well, we'll think about it, but it's appealing. It's appealing. 6 years is a long time to, do week-on-week podcasts. So we'll have a big celebration. What you got here, Cliff? A letter from The Tonight Show. You think it's a joke acceptance after your first one? Well, it's a cease and desist, Cliff, so sorry. But we enjoyed it, yeah. Well, see you next week. Yeah, season finale next week, yeah. We hope it will be fun too. Okay, bye.
As usual, before we open our letters, we have to give a shout out to our norms on Patreon. So this goes out to Treb Curry. If you want that special norm treatment, then check out our Patreon page for that and so much more.
In this episode, James, we get we talked about Sam reminisces about Diane a bit, but he mentions that he was lucky because if they stayed together, he would have ended up killing her, dying, and he would have died in the electric chair.
Mm-hmm.
What episode does this reference?
Chambers versus Malone.
Yeah, Chambers versus Malone. We get this flash forward vision that Sam has of him and Diane stay together. So that was way back in season 5, episode 13, which was a long time ago now.
I think you'll get this one. Fairly easy one. What long-running variety show still uses cue cards?
Long-running variety show?
Yeah, I can give you the year it started, if that helps.
Yeah, okay.
75.
The Tonight Show?
Okay. Which one that started in 1975?
I don't know, James. You'll have to tell me.
SNL.
Oh, okay.
Because it's live. So they still use cue cards because of apprehension against technical failure. Other shows, I think, have moved to teleprompters because it's not recorded live.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Lovely little fact there, James. James, I'm going to ask you to look away from your notes.
Okay.
How many E's are in the title of this episode?
Oh, no. Seven.
Seven is right.
Yes!
I thought I'd get you with that one.
I enjoyed that one. This one's a bit more difficult. I'll just accept the year, really. As of recording, when did Leno last perform a monologue on The Tonight Show?
10 years ago.
Which would make the year...
2014. 2014.
I mean, you're close, but you're wrong. 2016, he did a part of a monologue when he was appearing as a guest while Jimmy Fallon faked an injury. He did part of Jimmy Fallon's monologue for him. Yeah. Bit of a trick question, but yeah, you did all right.
That's close. It's close. Yeah. Close enough, you know. James, I'm going for a classic question here. What earrings does Carl have in this episode?
Bananas.
Oh, that's close.
What was it?
Little yellow airplanes.
I thought so. It was something yellow.
Yeah, you're close.
How old was Doc Severinsen when this episode aired?
74.
No, he was...
64.
I mean, you're close with 64, but it's wrong. It's the correct answer was 65.
Do you know, I was going to go in the 60s, and I thought they joked so much about it. So I added 10 years.
Well, there you go.
And before we go, we've got a special letter from our sponsors, Zencaster.
Yeah, we do, John. I'll read it out. If you think of yourself as a presenter or a funny man, then why not get your own voice out there? And for that, we recommend Zencaster. It's got this great user interface, user friendliness, and it's an all-in-one podcast editing and broadcast tool. Use the code NORM to get 30% off your first month of any Zencaster paid plan. We've been using Zencaster for a few years now and can't recommend it enough.
That's the last call at the bar, James. And I'm going to pitch you a drink because there's a famous clip. And it's with Johnny Carlson, and he takes a sip of Dean Martin's drink. And I think we should just have Dean Martin's drink.
What is Dean Martin's drink?
I don't know.
It's just called Dean Martin's drink.
Just what it says, Johnny takes a sip of Dean Martin's drink. There is another one, which is Johnny Carlson's mole tequila cocktail. But I don't know what that is. Or maybe a mole. I've got a drink to pitch to you, James.
Yeah.
Stars and Satellites.
Is this an actual drink?
This is a cocktail. Stars and Satellites cocktail. This just sounds like a nice little one. There's some grapefruit in there. Some
it
orange bitters.
It sounds like you... I don't know what it is, and frankly, it sounds made up.
It's on punch. Punchdrink.com.
In that it fits the episode very well, so I'll be having that, yes.
Good. I think it sounds delightful, but as we do, we can sit on the rooftop of Cheers. Ooh. With a big old satellite behind us and contemplate Woody and Kelly's wedding, just as Sam and Woody do in this episode.
Lovely stuff.
And toast to the final episode next week. Final episode of season 10, I should say.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Because it's going to be a big one. It's a bumper episode.
Double the length, double the fun. It's a double build episode is when it originally aired. So, yeah, we'll talk about that more for a special finale. Looking forward to it.
But until then, this has been Where Nobody Knows Your Name, a Cheers podcast.
Thank you for listening, everyone. Thank you.